Labor Occupational Health Program at UC Berkeley. And what I wanted to do is describe a project that I've been working on with NIOSH to, as well as with Walgreens, to meet the health and safety training needs of workers with developmental disabilities. And although Mary was indicating, this project is not directly targeting young workers at the moment, the hope is that what gets developed afterwards will, especially with regard to the transition programs that serve youth with developmental disabilities. I don't know if Sherry Barron is here, but she's my project officer from NIOSH, doesn't look like it, but I also want to acknowledge Chris Myra and Diane Bush who've helped me with this project. What I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is start with a little background. When we talk about developmental disabilities, what do we mean? Developmental disabilities, this is sort of an official definition, are severe lifelong disabilities that are attributable to mental and or physical impairments that result in substantial limitations in three or more areas of life activities. Examples include people with mental retardation, autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, and epilepsy. And the American, or the U.S. Administration on Developmental Disabilities states that there are 4.5 million individuals in the United States with DD. Where are folks working? And I feel like this is really important for us to talk about and to know, because workers with developmental disabilities, I believe, are a very hidden, vulnerable, and segregated workforce in general. And only about 30% are of working-age adults with DD are working, and of those, a substantial number are working in facility-based settings, otherwise known as sheltered workshops or work centers, where they're doing kind of menial, repetitive of work. And then 22%, these are new numbers, by the way, are working in integrated employment, the regular conventional workforce. Now, what kinds of work are they doing in the facilities, the sheltered workshops? They're doing a lot of counting, sorting, assembly, disassembly, recycling. So, for example, if you go to the dollar store and you see 50 or 51 spoons in a little package, those are put together by people with disabilities. If you see Fuji Camera, will hire a shelter to, will make a contract with the shelter to have them disassemble disposable cameras. BMW, the car manufacturer, will contract with a shelter to count O-rings. So it's very, you know, small, a lot of counting up hangers, those sorts of things. Typically, those folks work on a piece rate system, and they get about 75 cents to a dollar an hour. They're also typically on SSI, and during downtime, they, when they're not, they don't have contracts, then they learn life skills and such as money management and cooking and other things. So it's obvious, often a combination of sort of a work center as well as sort of a daycare center. Now, the other model of employment, which is we're moving more and more to, is the conventional labor market, where people are working in, say, grocery stores or other settings. And I also feel like that's a fairly segregated environment, too, because it's usually one or two people. And I'm going to the trouble of telling you all of this because I want to explain the model that Walgreens has launched, which I think is really an interesting good model for integrating people with disabilities into the workforce. So my project started off with a needs assessment funded by NIOSH to sort of get a sense of what was happening in the national world in what sort of national organizations and agencies were doing anything with regard to health and safety in the workplace for workers with developmental disabilities. And kind of not surprisingly, there's very little out there. There's no database, really, not in terms of injuries or illnesses, although studies have shown that that researchers feel like workers are at increased risk, partly because of the work they're doing, but also because of special risk factors that they may be bringing, and they call for increased attention to the issue. There's basically no health and safety training going on. short of job coaches who often go to the workplace with these individuals and they might say, do this or don't do this. It's sort of on the job, that kind of training, but no real health and safety training. So what are some of the issues? They look familiar to you, I think, because there are a lot of the same issues that we talk about with young workers. First of all, they're working in hazardous settings, but then there are special risk factors that make them a particularly vulnerable population. So the project involves, the recommendation at the end of the needs assessment was that we really need a curriculum that's specifically targeting workers with developmental disabilities. And the opportunity to develop and test such a curriculum came sort of unexpectedly with this collaboration, with Walgreens, which has really provided a nice opportunity to see whether we can actually integrate health and safety training into a workplace and find out if it works. And this happened because my son worked at Walgreens as part of his transition program. He has autism. I ended up putting together a partnership between NIOSH and Walgreens, and the way it's going to work is that we're working with Walgreens first and then take the curriculum after that and make it more of a generic version that can get out to other supported employment agencies and employers potentially too. So I want to describe what the Walgreens model looks like. We're talking about not the pharmacy part, not the store part, but the distribution centers, so those are the warehouses. And they have basically redesigned their warehouses, starting with one in Anderson, South Carolina. And the goal is to hire a third of their workforce from the population of workers with disabilities. They're actually up to 40% at this point, and that includes managers as well. So it's really unique. This just is not happening anywhere else. What happens is they start in a training center and they learn how to do the jobs in a separate training center that's run by the supported employment agencies, and they learn how to do the job for as long as they need to, and then they transition, they get hired into the real distribution center and they have 45 days to sort of make sure they know how to do it. The goal is that they work in a fully integrated team, same pay, same benefits, and same expectations, so they have to keep their production rates up. One of the reasons I think this is working is because Walgreens has made sure that everybody, coworkers, managers, and everybody goes through a pretty intense disability awareness. The other thing that they've done as part of this project is the distribution center itself has been redesigned, so it's much more automated and uses visual prompts, and that's reduced a lot of the hazards. It's been pretty amazing. And I'll give you a taste of what some of these jobs are, but people often ask me, well, yeah, this is great, but are people really eating together in the lunchrooms? And they are. I mean, it's pretty amazing that I think the disability awareness training, as well as people are working side by side, and you walk into these centers, and for the most part, you cannot tell who has a disability and who doesn't. And I think from an advocacy point of view, that's exactly what we want to see. We don't want to see segregation like we usually do. So the kinds of jobs they have they actually have all kinds of jobs, but this is one of the main ones. You check in a case, comes off of a truck, you check it in, then somebody else takes all of the trash out of the box, so it makes it easier for the picker. And then there's the pickers pick from various bins and put it into a tote that goes into the store that's ordered certain products. Their current health and safety training was just like everybody else's, which is, they use videos and quizzes and PowerPoint slides. And the folks at Walgreens, at corporate, sort of recognized that this wasn't good for any of their workers and certainly not good for these workers. But these are the topics. And so what we've done is adapted the Youth at Work Talking Safety curriculum that we have as a collaboration between LOHP and EDC and Department of Public Health in Massachusetts, really sort of making things as participatory and visual and even more broken down into little pieces as possible. So that's sort of the difference. It's modeled on Youth at Work, but it's even more concrete. You'll recognize this if you know our curriculum, but one of the ways we teach understanding hazards is through pictures, and so we have different workplaces with the idea of developing the skill of being able to recognize hazards in any kind of workplace. But we've colorized it because we found through our pilot test that it was not right to keep it in black and white. It was much more meaningful to do it in color. So we have this one in color, the grocery store in color, and the gas station in color. And the idea is you go through and you circle the hazards you find. And then finally we have one for Walgreens where you find the hazards in the distribution center. And one of the things that I have learned in this process is I think it's really important to use illustrations like this, not photographs, not walking around, at least as a first step, not walking around and finding the hazards, that somehow this gets in a little bit better, that you can see it, it's a little bit exaggerated, and that this is a really good way to start with developing that basic skill of being able to understand and identify hazards. So then we talk about chemicals, and we talk about ergonomic hazards, because that's obviously a big issue in distribution centers. And then safe lifting, and then ways to make the job safer. And so we do this, as I say, all visual. This was really important to people that there be no words. And so, in fact, when I did the pilot test, that was a big, there were word slides, and I've since taken them out because they didn't work. So, again, we have discussions about how do you make these jobs safer. We were able to get at the concept of some ways are more protective than others, which I was pleased about. And then the third area is to talk about emergency preparedness, and this is a particularly popular activity which actually is in the Youth at Work curriculum as well, the Disaster Blaster board game. People really enjoy doing that. We've simplified it, so it's actually even more simple than in the Youth at Work one, and tailored it to Walgreens. And then finally, there's a speaking up component, we've tried to make this visual as well, so starting with sort of figuring out what's wrong with, you know, what happened here, and then practicing the concept of speaking up when there's a problem. So giving people a chance to come up with rescue phrases if something, doesn't feel right, what can they say, and practicing all kinds of different issues. So we've pilot tested it twice, and it's what we've, I think, discovered are a couple of kind of exciting things. One is a lesson, which is the visual aids really do seem to work and are important. But I was really pleased when I called the job coaches who were also in our pilot test about what they thought the results were from the training. And they were excited about it, and they, in fact, already started incorporating some of the activities into what they call their soft skills classes, so that they were carrying it out already. And even though they don't have the final curriculum yet, they had saved some of the activities from the pilot. And that they were all not only doing it with their Walgreens people, but these folks that the agencies that we were working with, they have other people working in other settings as well, and so they were training those folks in addition to the Walgreens people. And then finally, they said that they had had conversations with the people who went through the pilot test, as well as others, about health and safety. So we were pleased that has continued. That was one of the goals, is to have them continue working and talking about the issues. So the next steps to finish institutionalizing it at Walgreens, adapt the curriculum for a generic audience, work both at the national level but also the state level, because it's the states where a lot of these programs work that can actually use this curriculum. And I guess that's it because I'm out of time. Thank you. Oh, I do? Okay. I'm trying to think if I had anything else I wanted to say.
I think this has tremendous implications for individual workers of different literacy and language skills as well. So I just think this is really going to be exciting. We're in line in Washington State.
Yes, you are. Yeah, Darren's actually been interested in this topic area too. So.